Blessing or mercy? I thinking about, the other day, Anita and I was driving back to the house from somewheres, and I don't remember exactly where we were had been, but we were driving back, and I guess I was being extra quiet, and she said, what are you thinking about? I said, well, I'm thinking about what the message might be for Sunday. And trying, my mind was going. I felt like the Lord was bringing some thoughts to my mind. And so as we enter into this today, I just want to ask for your prayers and your try to pay attention to what we're saying. I trust it'll be a blessing to all of us. Over in Proverbs, the 10th chapter, we have a verse that I'm sure we're all familiar with. In Proverbs 10 and verse 22, it says here, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." There's several verses in the scripture. Another place he says something like, "I know my thoughts toward you, thoughts of good and not of evil." Here he says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich." I believe there is a spiritual level of prosperity that God would like for every one of us to attain to. And he says here that the blessing of the Lord is what's going to bring that. Now, we all know the expression of living paycheck to paycheck, and we know what the word affluent means, and we connect to some of that with like lifestyle, and they're the high rent district, or all of these. We have some terms that distinguish between just barely getting by and having more than enough, all right? So this verse here says, "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich." Now, there's nothing about being rich that would indicate that there's want or need, all right? So I believe that the intent of the blessings of the Lord is to make us feel not self-sufficient, but sufficient in God and in our relationship with Him. The blessing of the Lord is intended to put us in a position to feel satisfied, to feel comfortable, to realize maybe the fullest potential of the Christian experience. All right? So, I like blessings. I like good things that is said to me or directed towards me. I like to know that I'm liked. I know that it means a lot to me and to others to feel appreciated and to feel loved. And if we had a choice, I think we would all just sign up for blessings. All right? I don't think any of us would sign up for troubles or distress or distraction or anything like that. We wouldn't be signing up to have a hard time. That I think all of us would sign up for blessings. I don't think we can go around the room this morning and anybody will say, "Well, count me out on blessings. I don't need any of those." I need them, and I believe you do too. I want them. But I'd like to turn to Lamentations now. Is a book that's written by the prophet Jeremiah. Let's go to Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, and notice something that he says here. I believe it's 3 and 22 is where we want to go. He says, It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. You know, it's, I don't know how many of you have had extensive relationship with a grandparent, but now that I am a grandparent, I have this desire to make my grandchildren's experiences as good as I possibly can. I want them to enjoy being at Grandpa and Grandma's house. I want them to have an enjoyable time when they're with us. And I remember those times that I was with my grandparents and how they made me feel. And also, not only that, I'm thinking about the times that they had mercy on me when my parents probably wouldn't have mercy on me. And the times that they let some things slide, or maybe if it would have been my parents, would they have said, "That dog don't hunt here." You know, they'd have told me that, you know, you're not, this is not the way it's going to be. But Grandpa and Grandma were more tendency, well, they're just little, you know, they're young, or all of these kind of things. And, well, it's okay at Grandpa's house or Grandma's house. So, you know, the writer here said, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. You know, I believe that God's compassion towards us is the reason that mankind has survived all of the generations that they have. You know, God has had some times, we have these records in the scripture, where mankind became so wicked that God said, "I'm just going to destroy it all with the flood." But he came to the place he realized he couldn't justifiably do that, because Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So he spared Noah and his family. So all of us here today are descendants of Noah some way or another. I don't know. But we're descendants of Noah. And then as the children of Israel, there was a time that God was so distressed with their behavior that he told Moses, he said, "Just stand over here to the side and I am going to clean the plate. I'm going to destroy all of them, and I'll start over with you, Moses." But Moses entreated the Lord, "Don't do that. Lord, if you destroy them all, what's the people going to, the ites of the land going to say? You brought them out of Egypt miraculously, and you just brought them out here and destroyed them." He said that wouldn't look good. He reasoned with God there. But anyway, the point is, I believe God's mercy to us is his compassions fail not. Don't you know that every one of us here today has done something that if God just had not been willing to have mercy on us, he would have exacted an awful consequence from us. I know that all of us here have been guilty of something. Probably something pretty bad. And, you know, if the Lord had said, "I just cannot tolerate that kind of behavior," just, he could have been justified in shoving us all off to the curb. Every one of us, individually. We could go down the line. "He rejected me. He didn't respond the right way. Or she didn't do what she knew what she ought to do." All of these things, and God could have shoved you off to the side and said, "I'm tired of messing with them." But this scripture says, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. So my burden here this morning is that we don't just become satisfied with God's mercies, but we begin to cultivate a relationship with the Lord that we can warrant his blessings. All right? So, it's of his mercy that he extended the plan of salvation to us all. We live in a New Testament dispensation. Christ has come. He has paid the price that I couldn't pay, that Abraham couldn't pay, that King David couldn't pay. Anybody that's lived between during the time of the old law, they couldn't pay the price with enough sacrifices. But Jesus came, paid the price, and it's God's mercy extended, His compassions that fail not, that's been extended to us, whereby we can be saved today. Every one of us have that opportunity if we'll come to Him. So as we come to Him in pleading mercy, and I hope all of you have, if you haven't, I want to encourage you to do so, to come to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I recognize where I'm at. I know that I have needs. And you know, when we know that we have prayed through and confessed and repented of our sins, and we have felt the witness that Paul talks about in the 8th chapter of Romans, of his Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we've been adopted a child of God, don't you know we feel blessed at that moment? But I want to cause us to stop and think a minute. Is that really God's blessing, or is that blessed sensation just part of God's mercy? So I'd like to go on with this thought a little further in Mark, the 10th chapter, and notice a passage here, Mark chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse 46. We'll read a few verses here. He says, and they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jerusalem. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do to thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Have you ever had a need in your life? Might be physical blindness. It might be another need. But have you ever had this need and you were so desperate? Do you know how debilitating blindness is? You think about the things that we all do and we take for granted because we can see. I don't go around tapping with a cane to find where the next step or the pothole is. I don't listen at intersections to hear if a car is coming. I look. Right? We just use our eyes. So if any of us here lost our eyesight, we would have to compensate. Somehow we'd have to cope. And people that have been born blind, they have learned to cope with their blindness. And they have learned, many of them have learned to do some very impressive feats, but even though they were blind. But this man here, he said, Lord, I mean, it ought to be as plain as a nose on your face, right? I'm blind. I want to see. I've got a need. Please have mercy on me. And all of us here have had those situations in life. It might be something else. It might be a terrible trial that we're going through. It might be rejection. It might be some level of persecution. And we're saying, Lord, I need some mercy here. Help me with my troubles and my problems here. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So I'll ask you this. I asked you earlier if you ever had a problem that you came to the Lord and you said, I need some mercy, I need some help, I need some relief from the distress that I'm in. So I'll ask another question. Have you ever had God do something for you? I have. I've had some problems in my life, and I felt like I was at wit's end corner. I felt like I couldn't go on any further. I felt very discouraged. Maybe I was in pain. Maybe I didn't see my way clear in a financial situation. All of these things. And I've said, Lord, I need some help. What do I do here? I need wisdom. I need someone to give me some assistance. Something. And then the Lord works. Maybe somebody calls you up and says, ever been discouraged and somebody call you up and said, I've just been thinking about you. They don't have to tell us anything else. All they got to say is, I've been thinking about you. And usually our courage goes up. Ever had somebody walk up and say, here, can I give you a hand with that? That's a blessing. It can really help us in our time. It may be we was praying that the Lord would hear our prayer, have mercy on us. So it says here that he went from this spot, and he says he received his sight. But he didn't go back to where he was. It says he followed Jesus in the way. So is that a blessing or was that mercy? It's a blessing to receive your sight, right? It's a blessing for a problem to be resolved in life. But is that really the blessing that we're talking about? Or is it just a result of God's mercy? I want us to think about that. And I want us to be assessing ourselves. Are we living a life that God, we go from one of God's mercies to another of God's mercies? Or are we living in a way that His blessings, the scripture we started with, was the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. So I'd like to go now to Matthew, the 15th chapter, and notice another setting. In Matthew 15, we have another person that was asking for mercy. In Matthew 15, beginning in verse 21, he says, Then Jesus went thence and departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now that'd be a problem, right? Just like blindness. If you've got a child that has a serious problem, whether it's actually possessed with the devil or a serious affliction, I'm going to tell you that's trouble. He says, But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So it sounds like that Jesus doesn't have time for this woman, right? It sounds like he wants to just push her off. It sounds like his mercy is not going to be extended to her. You know, this woman was not a Jew, right? And it's very likely that the blind Bartimaeus was non-Jew as well. He was from Jericho. And it's very possible that he was not a Jew. But yet God showed mercy on him. And this story is not over here. He says, I'm not sent but to the lost house of Israel. You're not the one I was sent for. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Have you ever been so distraught by your trouble that you said, Lord, help me. Would you please hear my cry? But he answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now that would be offensive, wouldn't it? I got a problem. I come to the place that I ought to be able to get some help, and he calls me a dog. He calls me something else. That was just as derogatory in that day as any derogatory name could be today. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Yeah, it may be true, but, you know, the dogs eat what the leftovers. I'm willing to take a leftover. I'm so desperate for mercy. I'm so desperate for some help. You don't understand. I have a daughter that's grievously vexed with the devil. All right? Now, if you have that situation, she didn't restate it, but she said, do you see how desperate she was? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Here was mercy extended to her. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now that'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? Or is it just mercy? I hope you're getting the point this morning. Many times when God does something for us out of mercy, it feels like a blessing. I'm not saying it's not a blessing. What I am saying is this: there's another level that we ought to be striving for. Do you know what grade it takes to fail a class when you're going to school? I mean, the common thing is if you get the F, that's a failure grade, right? But you know that you don't have to make an F in a particular subject to be denied advancement to another subject. I had a teacher. I was in the fifth grade. And this teacher made it her, she was old enough to be my grandmother. I think she was. Anyway, she said she was teaching grandchildren of her first students. But anyway, she had a mission that everybody that went through her class would know their multiplication tables from 0 through 10. 0 times 0 all the way to 10 times 10. So here's the deal. She said, "If you want to get out of my class and go on to the next class," we started fairly early in the year. I don't remember if it was in the first 9 weeks or what it was, but she gave us a test, and the test had all of those multiplication factors from 0 times 0 all the way to 10 times 10. And she says, "You have to make a perfect score. You have to get them all right to go on to the sixth grade. If you miss one, you don't get the perfect score." So she said, "Here's the deal. This Friday, you're going to take this test, and if you get them all right, you get an A. If you miss one, you're going to take the test next Friday. We'll go on with our other lessons, and the next Friday you take this test again. If you get them all right, I'm going to give you a B. If you miss one or two or ten or whatever, you're going to take it the next Friday. And the third time if you get them all right, you're going to get a C in the grade book." And y'all know how this was going. And she said, "If you take it every Friday to the end of school and get an F, you're going to make a perfect score or you're not getting out of my class." All right? So, it was to our advantage to study. I didn't get an A, all right? I missed one or some. I made it the second time around, though. I got a B with a perfect score. So, When we are endeavoring to live for the Lord, we just live from mercy to mercy. I want us to get a picture in our mind that there is something better than that. Okay? I don't know if I'm making connection yet or not. There's something better than just barely getting by. You know, I could have got out of her class and been allowed to go on to the sixth grade with an F on that multiplication table if I'd have got it done the last Friday of school. But there was something better than that. I could apply myself and do better. And you know, all of us here, it is one thing for us to just live off of the mercy of God. Because it's a blessing, isn't it? Every time the Lord hears my desperate cry and I say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I've got this huge problem. I'm blind. My children has a problem. Lord, have mercy on me. Surely you won't let me go on through life like this. And God has mercy, and we feel this blessing from that. I want to tell you, that is a blessing per se, because anything God does for us feels good. But what's it like for the blessing of the Lord to be making us rich? That's what I want us to get a taste of. What's it like to just barely get out of the sixth grade knowing your multiplication tables compared to getting out of the sixth grade being able to, or the fifth grade, that's what the grade I was in at the time. What is, correlate just barely getting out by passing the multiplication table test on the last week? How does that compare to coming out of the fifth grade being able to multiply four-digit numbers together? You see what I'm saying? So, how is it? It's one thing to be able to recognize. You ever, I don't know if anybody here, if you speak a different language or understand a different language, but you know, all of us here probably know a few words in another language. I took a year of French in high school, and I know I might recognize four or five words. It was really rough on me, let me tell you. So one time, my wife and I traveled, done a little travel, and we went through Paris. And we're in the airport, I heard these. I always thought, you know, their word, the French word for yes is oui. That's how they, it's pretty close to that. So I thought, you know, that just sounds weird to say, instead of saying yes, you say oui. But everybody was saying that in the airport. And I recognized that. You know, I could recognize that word. They could be telling me, yes, your airplane is over there, and I wouldn't have understood the rest of it. Okay? So do I know French? No, I don't know French. Don't dump me off in a French-speaking territory and expect me to be able to navigate because I don't know French. But you know, I could maybe, after listening to some people talk, if you just drop me with a parachute in someplace, maybe after a little bit I could say, you know, I think they're speaking French here. But it wouldn't do me a lot of good because I couldn't communicate with them. And that's kind of the way it is if we're just living off of God's mercies. I know God's out there because He helps me when I'm in trouble. And I'm in trouble all the time. And He helps me. So God is good and I feel like He's blessing me. No, there's something better than that. What if you could talk their language? What if you got dropped in the middle of a French-speaking a community where nobody knew anything but French. I'm just using that. It could be Spanish or German or Portuguese or anything else. Just dropped you in the middle of there, and when you hit the ground, somebody come up to you and said something to you, and you just was able to talk to them. Now, how much good would that be? It'd be a lot better, wouldn't it? So what about this whole idea of the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it? You know, that's kind of like being able to take advantage of a bargain. By knew another man, worked with him. He come to work one morning. He was a little late getting there. And he come to work, and he had these boxes he was carrying in. I said, "Man, what do you got?" He said, "Oh," he said, "I stopped by a yard sale on the way to work." "Really? What do you got in there?" And he had all these tools that he had picked up at the yard sale. And I was looking at this, and these were, he said, "I got it all for $100. And he probably had $3,000 worth of tools if you'd went and had to bought them new. He had micrometers and calipers, and it was two big old boxes full of stuff. I said, "Man, where did you find that?" He said, "Just at a yard sale." But what if he'd have found it and hadn't had no $100? He wouldn't have been able to take advantage of it, right? So I believe the blessings of the Lord will make us rich. So how do I live in a place that the Lord is willing and wants to bless me? Because that's what I want. I don't want to just live, barely get out of the fifth grade. I don't want to just barely get by in my spiritual experience. I'd like to have a little bank account. You know, I'd like to have a little reserve. So how do we get there? I'd like to go to Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. We may pick this up this evening, but I'd like to point us in a direction here. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, and begin in the 18th verse. He says, "Therefore shall you lay up these words in your hearts and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the door post of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth." So they've been given the law. They've been instructed now, this is what you're going to do with it. You're going to teach it to your children. You're going to live it yourself. You're going to teach it to your children. You're going to incorporate in your everyday life. Here's some instruction. We're talking about getting blessings now, okay? He says, "For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself." So notice the wording there. He says, "Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you." Have you ever drove in fog? Visibility is usually limited in fog. But have you ever noticed if the fog level is just right, it seems like you can always just see out there a certain way. You know that if it wasn't foggy, you could see some landmarks. But you can drive at a respectable pace and feel fairly comfortable because your visibility goes out about to the end of your headlights. And he said here, if you'll do what I'm telling you to do, I'll drive out these nations before you. You may not have to do the driving out, but they're going to go out as you go in. They're going to go out. He says, "Every place whereon the sole of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. So here's what's set before us. We can either skimp and try to get by. Lord, have mercy on me again. Here I am. I just need some more mercy. And every time the Lord has mercy on us, it feels like a blessing because it is the goodness of the Lord. But there's a better place, and this place comes from obedience. This place comes from incorporating God's law, God's plan for our lives into our everyday life. The more that we become absorbed by God's direction in our hearts and in our everyday lives, the more He'll be able to bless us. Does this make sense? I want the blessings of the Lord to make me rich, all right? But I recognize this, if I'm constantly not doing my homework, I never liked homework either, all right? I did more than I wanted to. A lot more than I wanted to. But I'll tell you this, I learned some things while I was in school that has benefited me for, it's going to be 40 years here pretty soon. I've been able to take those, not because somebody made me learn the multiplication tables. You know that if you master multiplication tables and addition factors and subtraction facts and all of those kind of things, that you can kind of add things up in your head. And you can kind of, the more you cultivate that, the better you get at it, and the more of a blessing it can be. But if you don't cultivate that, you're at somebody's mercy all the time. It's just the way it is. Lord, help us to apply ourselves in a way that God can bless us. That's what I want for us. I want you all of us here, to be rich with God's blessing. And how do we get there? He says, I'm setting before you today. That happened a long time ago, but I believe we can do that here this morning. We can set this before. Here it is. It can either be a blessing to you or a curse to you. He says here, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. You know what happens if... What does the New Testament say? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, right? So if we know what we ought to do and we don't do it, you know what we're going to do? Have mercy on me, Lord. Here I am in trouble again. I need some mercy, and when he has mercy on me, thank you, Lord. Oh, this feels so good. And you know, we can live like that, and hopefully, just before we exit this life, we've got everything straightened out. But there's something better than that. If we will be obedient to God's plan, Lord, help me to know today how I ought to conduct myself. Lord, guide me in my decisions and in my choices. I want your blessings in my life. And if we, people have said that God gets the credit for things that He didn't do. There's many times that the Lord didn't plan to put you in this place at all. You chose it yourself. And help us, Lord, help us to recognize when we're being disobedient and we're not really following Him. Because I want His blessings. I don't want to just say, be saying, Lord, I'm blind. I got trouble in my family. I got a child that's sick. Lord, help me. I believe we ought to plead for the Lord to help us with our troubles. Don't get me wrong. But I want to paint a picture this morning that instead of just barely skimping by, if we will cultivate an obedient attitude and characteristic before the Lord, that's where the real blessings come from. That's where the wealth, the spiritual wealth comes from. It comes from being obedient to the word of the Lord. It doesn't come from just living a mercy to mercy experience. I desire your prayers. I want to be faithful.